Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We begin the first of a number of General Assembly previews this morning. We're going to start it off with 28th District. Delegate Tara Duran is here this morning. Delegate Duran, it is great to have you here. First time in the studio. Good morning.
I know. Thank you. Good morning. I really appreciate you having me.
I don't know how we missed it last year of not getting together and in doing this, but it is so good to have you here. Year two of going down to Richmond. You excited?
I am so excited. Yes, I am. We've been working really hard on preparing all the legislation, and my aide and I were up quite late last night, and both of us we're really excited. And you know, we're moving into the second year of Governor Youngkin's administration and focusing on the priorities of the day two agenda, and we could not be more excited.
And we're going to get into some of those things and some of the topics that will come up in Richmond. What was it like last year? Because I know in talking over the years to members of the General Assembly, mm-hmm. it is a busy time.
It is.
Every day is just packed. How'd you manage?
Well, I've got great support. I was just singing the praises of my aide, Kathy. So
I know Kathy well, and she knows Richmond. So what a great aide you have.
I know. Yes, she'd been down there. I think that was her 21st session. So she deigned to come back and work for this lowly freshman delegate, and that was a huge boost for me because she had that industry knowledge, and people lined up and said, "Oh my goodness, you have Kathy. Do you know how lucky you are?" And I said, "Yes, I'm aware." I really enjoyed getting to know all my colleagues, and I thought I had great support, great mentors, and it went very fast. It was great.
What's a day like?
It's long. You get up very early, so sometimes we have we can have subcommittee meetings start as early as 7. I sit on the education committee, and that one we often had to meet 3 times a week. Because we had so many bills that came through last year through that committee. So we can start as early as 7 o'clock in the morning and meet with constituents. And then we start our caucus before our session begins at noon. So we meet as a caucus and go through the agenda of the day. And the Senate session is as short as that takes. And then there's often more meetings, et cetera, that's after. There's more committee meetings, et cetera. So it can go well into the evening.
Yeah. Did you stay down there, or do you go back and forth?
I did stay down there, but I try to get back and forth as much because I still have one. We have 3 kids, and one is still at home. So try to get back to her as much as possible. Or they would come down and visit me, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Well, the fact that you said you were excited about the session shows that even though those long days, that you have really embraced being a legislator.
I love the work. I absolutely love the work. And it's just an incredible opportunity to have an opportunity to be able to move the needle and actually make a difference on how this will impact our lives. I feel that state legislators really, this is one of the most effective things that you can do as a legislator at the state level. And so, yes, I feel like I've really got into my lane and spent the entire year. So immediately as we were closing up session, I was already forming my bills for the next year and worked on it completely this entire year.
Well, and I saw you all year long. You and I have crossed paths at events and things going on. I'm sure it must be a unique feeling to see something or hear about someone being impacted by something and know that a piece of legislation that was passed played a role in that.
It is. It's humbling. It really is, and exciting. I mean, we just the grocery tax just went into effect, and that was one that the administration asked me to carry, and that was one that we had campaigned together on all that year. So to see it now come into fruition, and just one of the things that we worked on quite a bit, we ended up carrying that with Delegate McNamara, is somebody who I just highly respect, and I go to quite a bit with a lot of questions. We can't be subject matter experts on every field,
sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So you've got to seek out those who are in that lane, and he's been a great resource, like many.
No, I was going to ask you about that. That was a piece of legislation, or that lowered the income tax that went into effect January 1st. And boy, what an important you do when you talk about a piece of legislation that impacts all of us. There's one right there.
Right, and there's so many complex layers underneath it too. You know, one of the first things you ask as a legislator is what's the fiscal impact going to be on the localities, and so and on lots of different entities. And so that was one of the most important questions. Is you have the transportation, the Commonwealth Transportation Fund. You've got schools, et cetera. So working out with some creative solutions to be able to keep a lot of them whole, which is Delegate McNamara came up with. That's where we end up conforming our bills together, because he had a great solution to be able to keep our localities whole. So the one component of it too is that the transportation fund is receiving a bit less, but we had such a huge surplus that was not anticipated in that fund that we felt like we could absorb it.
Delegate Tara Duran here this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back and return. Much more to talk about this morning as we begin to preview the Virginia General Assembly. It begins next week. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Regions.com.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Delegate Tara Durant here this morning as we preview the General Assembly. She's the 28th House District. When you look at that, and if you've been around here long, of course, that was a seat that Delegate Howell had for all those years. And I know you've talked about how he's been a mentor to you.
He has, absolutely. I'm very lucky, very fortunate to have him as a friend, as a mentor. Someone I still keep in touch with quite often. And, of course, then my aide, Kathy, as well, you know, they're very good friends with Speaker Howell and his wife, Ceci. So they live very close to us, too.
Okay, that helps, too.
Yeah,
that exactly. helps, too. I'm assuming that before you ran, you probably talked to him and talked about your philosophy and things like that.
Yes, that's a conversation. If you're considering running in this area, you're going to need to go.
Yeah.
Speak with Speaker Howell. And so that was, we connected. And, when I was considering running, when those conversations were still having, I think that was in the fall of 2020. And I was, just to tell it back, I had given a speech, and that's where I was asked to run by the former speaker, Kirk Cox.
Yeah.
And so... then I got some phone calls, but it was right after that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So the conversations I had with our now current speaker and others is, it's a real honor, and I am very much concerned this, but I'm going to have to focus on this diagnosis first and go through that treatment. So I did, and recovered beautifully. So unfortunately, we caught it very early. And so then made that decision in the beginning of 2021.
That's a good promo just for catching it early and to get tests and to not let things go.
I know. You've got to be ready for battle. And fortunately, my sister had just recovered, so that's how I got flagged. And,
okay.
Yeah. So I recovered beautifully.
Don't ignore those things and get the exams and things like that. Delegate Durant, talk to us about. I know that you've been doing these forums, behavioral health forums around the area. Talk about that and what there's. I know you're excited about that, and there's great potential just in the talking and into bringing groups together on this subject.
Absolutely. So when you know, after we begin session, then you're given an opportunity to request which commissions you might be interested on. And I requested the Behavioral Health Commission. That was one of them that I serve on. And I was really thrilled to be appointed. And the Behavioral Health Commission meets monthly. And so I think it must have been a few months later that Tom Cohen, a member of our Board of Supervisors in Stafford County,
yeah.
he asked if we could meet. We sat down and talked for a bit. And he asked if I'd be interested in hosting something like that. So I've got to give the kudos and credits to Tom Cohen on the idea. I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal. And so we immediately got to work and reached out to kind of talked about which of the stakeholders in our region that should come to the table, if would be willing to come to the table. And fortunately, the response was overwhelmingly positive. So we met in August, and what I shared with them, so we had people from, folks come from the Stafford Schools, City of Frederick Schools that I currently represent, folks from the hospital, from the Community Services Board, law enforcement as well from the city in Stafford. Because I'd had some conversations with folks from the Spotsylvania Department as well, we invited them because they had shared with me this was an area that was one of the biggest challenges for them in their field. So we met in August and had a very short agenda, just three discussion points, and set aside 2 hours, thinking this will be plenty of time, but we'll set aside the room for two
yeah.
hours. And we went well over. We went, I think it was 2.5 hours, and we only got to two of the three discussion points. They had a lot to share. And what probably one of the most exciting parts of that day is that a lot of different people said, I learned so much from what I listened to. There's a lot of people that shared a lot. I'm not sure that they've ever had an opportunity to come together in the same room.
Interesting.
They might be operating in different silos, but not knowing this is how it's affecting them as well. So we got phenomenal feedback. And what I shared with them is that the Behavioral Health Commission is formulating their 5-year strategic plan. So when we talked to the staff of the commission, I kind of explained we're hosting this forum. May I take this feedback and submit that? Absolutely, this is the way we want it to work. So we formulated all the feedback, kind of identified all of the key points, and shared that with those who attended, and then submitted that to the commission. So that 5-year strategic plan will shape the agenda for the next 5 years, and that will shape the proposed legislation down the road. That could become a JLARC study. It could become a lot of different things. So I think that feedback is incredibly important to get, and that's the right way to do it. That's the correct lane to get into.
And especially when you talk about how these groups got together and were able to, if sometimes for the first time, talk about some of these issues.
Correct. Yeah. It's affecting, I mean, from the very beginning when I was, became announced I was a candidate, and I would knock on doors and talk with so many people. This is an area that I heard consistently across the board. And for our first responders, for in education, I mean, you name it, it's a huge challenge. And I don't think there's a family that hasn't been affected with a loved one or somebody who's struggling with mental health, and
mm-hmm.
including my own family. So I think that's where we begin, is we start to say, break down these barriers, say, yep, this has affected me, and start to have conversations on a personal level. And so I was really excited and honored to be able to get into it. This is a lane I'm finding myself really concentrating on quite a bit.
Well, and like you say, everybody's been impacted in mm-hmm. some way.
Right.
And we always hear, and we've heard, especially in recent years, about more money, more money, more money. But mm-hmm. to be able to have groups like this to be able to have these kind of situations of talking, I'm sure that you're getting ideas, and you're getting ideas for legislation, whether it's this year or another year.
Yeah, actually, I did. We had two bills that we submitted for drafting, and because we have a 15 bill limit this year, we were able to combine them into one bill, and that was, to dial it back a little bit, yes, it is. It does take quite a bit of funding. And it was not too long ago that the Governor Youngkin announced a huge initiative on behavioral health and support.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that. We have our second behavioral health forum this morning. And so I will share a lot of that information with the governor and how that's going to affect us here at this local level. There's a lot of different key points that are coming in. There's crisis response centers, crisis stabilization centers that there's going to be investment there. So that would be at the local level. And I think that's an important piece on having some place when people are struggling to be able to go instead of not knowing which door to knock on.
Right. That's the thing. Or sometimes when even though you're going to the door to knock on, there's no space or there's no room.
Huge.
Anywhere.
Huge. Yes. I'm convinced that a lot of the issues that we're facing in this field cannot be solved if we do not have a pipeline of people to work in the field. And for example, for law enforcement, the TDO issue is huge with them. This is something they've shared with very clearly. And my response has been, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Because when you have somebody that is on a temporary detainment order, TDO, and now we are finding situations where they are handcuffed to a hospital bed for days, including little kids. We've had as young as like 6 years old, I've heard, that this has happened. I mean, it's unsustainable. It cannot continue. And we have to have people that are working in the field so we have some place to take them. There's no question about that. And so it's going to take a huge investment. And I'm incredibly grateful that the governor has recognized that, has heard the same things I'm hearing, and is now has a response in place. But, you know, when taking into that feedback that we got from the first behavioral health forum that we hosted, one of the things I heard from providers is that there's a lot of frustration with intake. It can take sometimes hours, and there's a lot of cumbersome burden, some regulation that comes in with their job. And so I really pushed hard and I said, can you please help me identify what those specific burdens are? And so we worked very closely with folks from the Community Services Board, et cetera, and to identify it. And there's a lot of different pieces that I found that, you know, where the genesis of where it came from. So it might be cumbersome and duplicative, if you will, but you know, we're still working on whether we're going to completely eliminate some of these requirements or they might be just scaled back a bit. So there's a couple of different pieces there. But the end goal is that if we're able to relieve some of the administrative burdens for these providers, that might reduce the burnout that they're experiencing. This field has a huge turnover rate. So if we're able to make their jobs more palatable, that's just moving the needle a little bit. So that's one piece of legislation I'm going to be carrying this year is you know, specifically relating to it. And, you know, and at the same time, we're having our second one, as I said this morning, and listen to more feedback and continue to hear what we can do to, you know, to help make this, you know, make it better.
And you said a few minutes ago, and you're right, the fact that every family's been impacted by this.
Yeah.
And until recently, I mean, you know, years ago, this was something you just didn't talk about.
Right.
But now it's there. We see it. And like you say, I know when my family had to deal with this a few years ago, I was just astounded how little I knew. I was also encouraged that there are options in this area. We do have some good options if you can get into them.
Yes.
But it is. A lot of times when all of a sudden you're faced with something like this, you don't know where to go.
You don't know where to go. And that is one of the pillars that Governor Youngkin identified, is making sure people know which door to knock on. Really, the community-based response is the answer. Instead of, sometimes it's a longer-term solution that you've got to go maybe farther away from your home. But ideally, what you want is to have a community-based solution. You need to have your friends, your family, your loved ones close by. And so that is, I think, what we're going to be focusing on for this up in the next years is, you know, making sure that we've got more of a community-based response in place, so that people know where to go, which door to knock on, and be able to get the help they need.
Well, thanks for working on this. This is such a big issue.
It
impacts all of us in some way.
Yeah.
It must be hard sometimes. You talked about the bill limit.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's a short session too.
Correct.
But I'm sure that a lot of times that whether you're at a meeting or whether you're just sitting around, you see things and you think, we ought to do something about that. And just to sort of contain yourself sometimes.
This is how I've thought my entire life, how I thought really? We need to do something about this. And it's a, I've always felt that sense of frustration, like, oh, I wish there was something I could do. And so now having been, you know, been honored to have this opportunity to be a legislator, now I look at the world and I see it from the lens of, is this a lane where I could actually step in? I'm very cognizant of whether this is a school board issue, this is a city council issue, mm-hmm. or, you know, that's their lanes, or this is a state issue, and it needs to have a response, you know, for me, you know, from me. So, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, it's challenging, but I love the work.
Delegate Tara Durand here this morning. Good stuff. She's from the 28th District in the House of Delegates. More coming up as we preview the upcoming Virginia General Assembly session on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Delegate Tara Durand in this morning as we preview the General Assembly that begins next week. I've been down there, Tara, several times on opening day, and I just, to me, it was just always thrilling. It was just, I mean, I'm a big opening day in baseball yeah. kind of person and get uh-huh. excited. That's how I've always been about the General Assembly, just yes. because of the history in those buildings down there.
They often, people say, if you don't feel that you know, that thrill, that just that sense of awe when you walk into Jefferson's Capitol, then it's time for you to go. And there is not a day that goes by that I don't have that sense of just wonder and amazement and respect for the institution, the oldest legislative body in the Western, you know, world.
I was waiting. I knew you would go there at some point.
We have to go there. Yeah. So I think it's what, So it's every day. Absolutely.
Couple of my kids were pages, and so I got to live the General Assembly through them, yes. and would go down and pick them up on Fridays, and would yeah. just be so excited to hear about how things went, and it really is. It's so fast moving, and you can just tell in talking to you. I mean, you do really love the whole legislative process.
I do. Yes. I mean, I remember not too long ago. I was working on a bill that the greatest ideas come from constituents, and people have come to me. And so a member of the school board in Stafford County had said, you know, there's a school board, a school bus driver shortage. And, mm-hmm. You know, there was an idea that, you know, so I started working on that and looking through the bill, looking at the language and realizing that in the initial draft there was a few issues that need to get corrected. And it's almost, I was thinking, I need to go into like a middle school English class and give a lesson on this bill, because it shows the importance of language and commas matter. And so there's just one little tweak that I needed to make that would be the difference between mandating as an unfunded mandate, the whole state would have to do something versus giving them an option, which was the goal. So we had to create a new subsection, change a comma.
A comma.
Yeah. Oh, and I love this stuff. It was like, you know, going through it. And one of my best friends said, that sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah.
But it's, to me, it's just, it's coming up with a creative solution, making sure you get it right. And it's just one of the things I love about my job.
Whether you're sitting in committee or sitting on the floor, just to have to pay attention, because bills just come at you just
yes,
like that.
They do. You really have to be, you've got to be on your game, no question. And you sit up at night and you go through and you read the bills that are coming through your committee. And then when we know we're coming up the floor, to make sure that we've paid attention to the amendments and the changes. You can come through and sit in committee and it's like, okay, I've done my homework. And then the patron comes in, I've got an amendment. So now you've got to adjust on the fly and try to absorb and make sure you understand exactly what the amendment does. So yes, it does. It moves very fast and you've got to be ready.
But it sounds like, again, you've had a good time. You've had a lot of fun doing that.
Well, there's a lot of great supports, too. Like some of the other members said, here's some great techniques to go through and make notes on, you know, on your issued iPads or something. And so you can go through and mark it on the software program and take notes. And so that's one of the things our interns do is they go through constituent feedback, and we put that in on the record. So when I go through, I can see these are constituents or these are, you know, other folks that have I've weighed in on this. So I know. And that's a great tracking system for me to make sure I'm kept apprised of it.
It's gotten a little bit more partisan in recent years than it used to be in Richmond. But always one thing about in watching the General Assembly and seeing you all kind of work amongst each other, really, when during sessions, it seems like that there is more. There's not the partisan things that you see, especially up in Washington. That there is more of a working together.
It depends. I will say. I mean, by and large, yes. There's a lot of issues that just you go through and they just aren't. And then the others, it can get a little tough.
Yeah, it can get tough. Yeah, no, it has
incredibly frustrating.
It has changed, in recent years, because the General Assembly never used to be like that, and it has become that way.
Yeah, I mean, we have issues right now that are incredibly frustrating because obviously before we had we were able to flip the House of Delegates last year and bring in a Republican governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general. There are a lot of things we have a lot of legislation that's gone through that we are, for example, Virginia right now is tethered to California when it comes to our emission standards. And
is there going to be a change in that?
Well,
an attempt.
Last session we did. These are some of the things that go through. They're on strict party lines, and so they're going to pass the House. They're not going to pass the Senate, and that's just the way it is right now. The Senate has fashioned themselves a brick wall and are absolutely determined to not, to be a brick wall against this administration and the. At the time was with day one agenda and now the day two agenda. So I think, frankly, you're going to see a lot of the same. We'll continue to push and to fight because, on that very issue that I just said.
That's a big issue.
It's a huge issue.
That I don't think a lot of people understand just yet.
And no, I mean, whatever happens, in California, whatever Sacramento says automatically is defaulted to Virginia. And we are not California. This is Virginia. We've got a unique set of our own challenges. We're, completely different state. So, this is something that has to change.
How did that happen?
It happened when Democrats had complete control. That's when it happened.
Yeah. Because it's going to have some really immediate impacts unless something's changed.
Exactly. And those key issues that we will continue to push on, that is why it is incredibly important that we are maintain our majority of the House and grow it and then flip the Senate so that we're able to tackle those really important issues that have to change. And they will not as long as we have the Senate that's controlled by Democrats.
What are there some either bills that you're going to be involved with or just some issues that we should look for? We should expect to see this upcoming General Assembly session.
Oh, my gosh. I was sharing with you earlier. I've got my whole my bill list
yes.
all color coded. And, we have a 15 bill limit. So it's a challenge because there's more all of us want to carry than we can. So you've got to prioritize. There are so many bills that I'm really excited about. When we were finishing up session, I went to the chair of education committee and I went to the administration. I said, we tackled the literacy. We have the Virginia Literacy Act this session. And I know that there's more that's coming down the pipeline when it comes to literacy. This is incredibly important with learning loss, and that's something that I certainly campaigned quite a bit on. I could see we all knew what was coming, and especially as a parent and at the time still as a teacher, I knew what a challenge it was going to be. I mean, during the pandemic, I was teaching in person and I had hybrid classes. I had kids that were coming Monday, Wednesday, others a Tuesday, Thursday. I had kids that were completely online, and it was a challenge too. And we just simply could not roll out the curriculum. And this is across the board. So when the nation's report card scores came out this year, I don't think it was really a surprise, but it was completely sobering to see really how profound mm-hmm. learning loss is for our students. And so this was something that was on my mind as I was going through session, and I went to the administration, I went to the chair, and I said, what are we doing on math specifically? And so that's, you know, one that we have been working on quite a bit. The governor did put in his budget to bring in support, kind of bring in the cavalry for a math specialist. And I think one of my goals long term is that we recalibrate this conversation that we have about math and education. And I heard when I went to a conference on right after the election last year, somebody that gave kind of a TED talk, she's a Stanford professor. She teaches math teachers how to teach math. And she said that what we often say is, you know, when children are struggling with reading, you know, we bring in the support staff. We bring in reading specialists. They get one-on-one or small group support. They go one or two times a week, and we get that kid where they need to be able to be. That doesn't mean they're going to become English literature majors or, you know, but they do have to have a threshold of literacy. We don't have that same quite mentality or approach when it comes to math. And I've certainly been guilty of saying, I think we all have, is like, well, just math's not my lane, and that's okay. It's all right. You don't have to be good at math. There's lots of other things that you can do in the world. And we need to recalibrate that conversation and say, nope, it's time to bring in the cavalry. We need to bring in the math specialist, and we're going to get you to this point where you have that basic threshold. It's not an indicator on your intelligence any more differently than it is a kid who's struggling with reading. These are bright children and just need a little bit of help.
Interesting, because that is, I mean, I've said that to my own kids.
Yes, I am too. I'm guilty of it. And I really want to reframe that conversation. I was like, all right, look, there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to bring in support. And the great thing is that I've met quite a few in the lane of education and what we can do. I think that the way that we teach math right now, and I've certainly experienced this as a teacher with frustration, is that it's kind of an assembly line approach that we're moving on, mm-hmm. we have to. And so,
yeah.
You know, when you give your math homework to your student and they struggle with it, you know, you might say, all right, let's go back and take a look at it. And you can see they're struggling. So really, I think that a better approach is that we identify each specific strand in the curriculum to get kids to algebra readiness by the time they're in eighth grade. If not algebra fluency, that's the gatekeeper for high school for them to come in. They've got to be ready.
Yeah.
And so when you identify each strand that they've got to be able to master, it really should not be grade specific. I think it should be more just we meet children where they are right now, and they've got to master it. And there's different ways that we can pull out those kind of assessments so that they know that they've got it. But it's just these are kind of some of the exciting things that we're working on right now. And so, you know.
That's so interesting just for me, because I mean, I'm not probably where I should be in math, and I was just passed along.
Yeah.
I was just,
move on.
You're doing well in all these others, and you, just
it's
what you
okay.
said.
It's okay.
That was me. You were talking
yeah.
to me.
And me. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot
and
of
I wish someone had said to me, we're going to get you algebra ready by the time you get to high school.
Yes.
Because I
yeah.
wasn't.
And I mean, I see it with my own daughter. We bring in the support, and That's the part that's really bothered me from the very beginning, especially during the pandemic, is I thought, all right, we have people that have been able to recalibrate their budget a little bit, and they've said, well, okay, we're going to send our kid to this school that's still, you know, open mm-hmm. in our community, and because, you know, learning online just is really, it's a challenge for my students. Some kids do well, some really don't learn that in that way, in that manner. And the ones that just did not have those kind of options are the ones I've worried about the most. And so that's the focus, I think, that I know that the administration has, and as do I, as we're moving forward, is to make sure that we're really addressing those that are showing the most profound learning loss and what we can do to bring in support for that.
Delegate Tara Durand here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFEA. The administration seems to have had an emphasis, too, on workforce development. And I've mm-hmm. found that interesting just because Germana's got such a strong workforce development in this area.
Yes, yes. That, I mean, everyone's fishing from the same pond. Everyone is struggling for employees. They need bodies into work, and so that's across the board. We were talking about in the behavioral health field. That is the crux of the challenges that we're dealing with, and it's across the board. Whenever I come across any different industry, it's workforce. And so the challenge we have in Virginia is that we have to have pipelines for our students to be ready and encourage them, incentivize them to be able to want to work, to live, work, and raise their family here in Virginia. So there's a lot of different, focus that we have at, you know, the community college level, at career and technical training support, as well as for, you know, 4-year colleges and beyond. But that is the crux of what we need to be able to make Virginia as strong as possible.
You mentioned a few minutes ago just about how some of the best ideas come from people and ideas. Do you hear a lot of people who come to you and just say, hey, Delegate Durand, have you ever thought about this?
Yeah, absolutely. And those, I think, are where the best ideas come from. And, you know, as I said before, I analyze everything from that view of, is this something that I can tackle as a state legislator? Or do we need to get in contact with our representative at the federal level? Or, you know, do we need to set up something with a school board member, et cetera? So, you know, that's the first thing, the way I look at it is, you know, is this my lane? But yes, I think some of the very best ideas come from constituents and talking with other people.
Anything else that you're gonna? I know some of the stuff you haven't filed yet, but anything else that you're gonna be involved with that you wanna? We can have breaking news this morning.
Breaking news. You know, there are, when it comes to law enforcement, they've been sharing quite a bit with us that one of the ways that they have a challenge and be able to do their job is a lot of offenses that used to be primary offenses are no longer primary offenses, and so they're not able to respond. So, broken ineffective equipment, you cannot pull over for those kind of things, mufflers, there's tinted windows, all kinds of things. So that if we know that these are offenses that they've shared with us that makes it far more difficult for them to do their job. And so, I have not filed any of my bills yet, but that is one area that we've heard them loud and clear, and so has administration. So I think that's something you're going to see this coming session is addressing that area.
Delegate Tara Durand here. We'll take a quick break and wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Delegate Tara Durand here this morning from the 28th House District in the General Assembly. General Assembly begins next week. A couple other things before we get out of here. We hear a lot about ESG.
Mm-hmm.
I've drawn a blank on what it stands for, but this is really affecting it.
It is.
It's kind of slipped in and is affecting a lot of how business is done.
Yes, it stands for Environmental Social Governance, and so. When we went to the state legislators conference this summer down in Atlanta, I would say that's probably one of the biggest takeaways I took is on ESG and what we can do at the state level to really combat it. And so you absolutely will see something on this this session from me. And, it has to do with economic boycotting and there's a lot of different components to how it can be addressed. In West Virginia, the state treasurer successfully was able to fight back against the big banks and say, you are not eligible for state contracts in Virginia if you're going to be engaging in economic boycott policies that contravene our interest in West Virginia. So it can cover a whole range of areas, including you know, on energy. So if you have any interests that are not in line with, you know, certain green policies, that can be a form of economic boycotting. It can be, you know, if you're in firearms, you know, if you're in industry and it's relating to, you know, R2A issue, you know, rights.
Yeah.
That can be a form of economic boycotting. It can be social issues, you know, on, you know, pro-life areas, et cetera. So this is one area where it's really opened my eyes. And I see when I look at companies and I hear what they're sharing, I'm thinking that's directly relating to their ESG policy. Mm-hmm. And you can go down a rabbit hole and look at any company right now and pull up their ESG and see what it is. It can be a complicated rubric. I looked at one company not too long ago. I was listening to somebody from that company. And so I just kind of opened up their website and I found their ESG as they're talking. And it's a complicated matrix of how their board is going to be established and
just,
you know,
yeah, banks. And just, there are a lot of things. And the concern, even a bigger concern or a concern is just individually.
Yes.
How this can spread individually and impact each of us.
100%.
So that's, I guess, another issue to look forward to. We've only got a couple of minutes, but I do want to mention that you are a candidate for the new state Senate seat. There'll be a primary in June,
yes.
and you are a candidate.
I am. Yes, I'm incredibly excited. So, you know, after the election last year, then of course we had redistricting. So this affected our congressional lines. It affected our House of Delegates lines and the Senate lines. And so, you know, taking a look at how those lines were drawn and the constituents that had just elected me, that was my main focus, is mm-hmm. to say, how can I be most effective and how can I continue to represent those that just elected me? And so, you know, that's how I announced for the Senate seat, so I can continue to represent those that I do now.
Well, and I will say, having over the years met a lot of General Assembly people, it's amazing to me that I would have, if someone hadn't told me that you'd only been you were just a you last year was your first session, I never would have guessed that.
Oh,
I would have said,
that's kind.
She's
Thank
been
you.
Doing that for 10 years.
I guess you could say, like, my, you know, my background with, you know, educate, originally I went to law school,
mm-hmm.
And met married my husband, and so I'm not a lawyer, but I do have this, you know, background. So I love this kind of work, and I was a political science major, and policy was my lane. So I think that's now really serving me very well to understand how to, you know, how to read legislation, how to come up with these kind of solutions, and, you know,
I was going to say, just reading legislation, to me, I just sometimes you look at it and I don't understand it. So that explains it. I needed my law degree.
Well, I mean, it's just knowing how sometimes the language can impact it. And, you know, like I said, I remember reading one case one time. I wish I could remember what it was now, but it had to do with importing citrus and fruits, and they mm-hmm. did not. I was talking about that comma.
Yeah, the comma.
They did not put a comma between the citrus and fruits, and so that had a real economic impact when they were importing it. So, you have to be really fastidious in analyzing every single piece of it, and even down to the
commas.
Grammar. Yes, I tell you, I want to go into any municipal teachers want me to come in. I'll go give a little lesson on why grammar matters, kids.
Tara Durant, Tara, thanks for coming. I can't wait to work with you during this General Assembly session. Good luck in Richmond.
Please come down and see me.
I would like to do that. Just
all constituents, thank you so much.
And if people do want to get in touch with you, just come on down.
Yes, please. Please do. We love it when they come. We've got kids that have come down, and we've got a few kids that are coming down to be legislators for the day, and yeah, we love it.
Perfect.
So if they want to have a tour, we'll be happy to set this up anytime.
Tara Durant, thank you very much. See you soon.
Thank you.
That is it. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.